The Sweeney and March Show. From Hollywood, the Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present the Sweeney and March Show with the songs of the Starlighters and the music of Led Gluskin and his orchestra. And here are the stars of our show, the young comedy stylists, Bob Sweeney and Hal March.
Bob Sweeney, old friend, will you do me a favor?
Well, sure, Hal, anything.
Will you call the drugstore and have them send over a cup of black coffee and a bicarbonate, two aspirin, a glass of tomato juice with Tabasco sauce and a raw egg?
What's the matter, Hal? Are you hungry?
No, I'm baking a cake for a sick Democrat.
Why should a Democrat be sick?
He was stepped on by an elephant.
Oh, the poor fella.
Look, Bob, old dear friend, I have a very bad headache. And the thing I would like more than anything else is fewer ridiculous questions and more quiet.
Oh, okay, I'll be quiet. All right, everybody, let's have a quiet in here. Everybody be quiet. My partner Hal March wants a quiet. And get that orchestra quiet.
All right, quiet, boys!
All right, everything's quiet, Hal.
Thanks. I'll do the same thing for you sometime. With four cheerleaders in the Notre Dame rooting section.
That'd be quiet.
How do you like that? He's making a big gag out of my headache. I go out last night to have a good time, cost me $100, and today I feel like...
How could you spend $100 in one night?
That's nothing for Hollywood, Bobby. If I were making that much, I'd spend more.
That's terrible. Scarlett and I could live a whole month on $100.
Oh, wait, just a minute. How can you and your wife possibly get along on $100 a month these days?
Well, it's easy. All you have to do is to cut out a couple of luxuries.
Yeah, what are those? Food and clothes?
Well, you're just too extravagant.
Bob, you and your wife lead an entirely different life than I lead. I'm single and a bachelor. And women are attracted to me. And it costs me every time.
I guess you do lead an exciting life, don't you?
Well, I don't know. I'm out with a different girl every night. I go to all the hot spots. All the maitre d's call me Mr. March.
Gee, that never happens to me. All anybody ever calls me is Mr. Sweeney.
Well, that's life.
Well, Hal, I hate to bring this up while everybody's listening, but why don't you live a little less and save a little more?
Bob, old buddy, with you it's one way, with me it's different. Look at what nature gave me, a Grecian profile and black curly hair. I've got to take care of these things, Bobby boy.
Well, you better, Hal. Nature won't give you a second chance. Look what she did to me.
What was that?
Look what she did to me.
Exactly. But, Bob, aside from keeping myself physically attractive, I get other benefits from spending. What gives a man joie de vivre, savoir faire, ruban bleu, parlez-vous?
I don't know about you, but strawberries do it to me.
Bob, I'm investing my money in a thing called personality.
Are you, Hal? I'm investing in personality, too.
You? Personality? You a little quiet instant? What are you laughing at?
I don't know. I like a good laugh. That's part of my new personality.
What are you talking about, new personality? You're investing in personality. What do you mean?
Well, have you ever heard of Dynamite Dan, the personality man?
Who?
Dynamite Dan, the internationally famous personality bomb.
Well, what's Dynamite Dan got to do with you?
Oh, nothing except that I'm taking a personality course for him, that's all. Oh. In 6 months, you better watch out, because I'll be the one signing the autographs on our program. I don't know, I might even grow hair, too. All depends on how I feel. I can do it because Dan said I could.
This guy I would like to meet.
Well, you will, because he's coming over here this afternoon to give me my lesson.
He's coming here to the studio?
Yeah, he should be here now. He was probably mobbed by a bunch of his admirers.
Just when is this explosion coming?
Well, he said he'd be around you. Boy, that's him now. Come on in, Dan!
May I come in, Mr. Sweeney?
Certainly, Dan. Come right in.
You're sure it's all right?
Sure, Atom Bomb, but tiptoe over. I don't want anybody killed when you go off.
Oh, that's a good one.
Dan, I'd like you to meet my partner, Hal March.
How do you do, Dan? I've heard a lot about you. I expect my partner to be bubbling with personality in no time at all.
Don't you worry. He'll be just like me, Mr. March.
Peachy. Well, I'll go and leave you two Kalamazoo Van Johnsons alone for a while. If you want anything, just Kalamazoo.
Before we go any further, Mr. Sweeney, there's a good lesson right there.
Well, what lesson, Dynamite?
Remember when I first came in, yeah? Mr. March made a funny and how I laughed?
Yeah.
Right away, he loved me.
Yeah, I could see that, all right.
And then another lesson. As soon as you introduced us and we shook hands, he immediately realized I was a strong personality.
Well, what did you do? I didn't notice anything.
Well, I didn't scream when he broke my hand.
I'll put that in my notebook. Don't scream when Hal March breaks your hand. What's our lesson for today, Dynamite?
Our first lesson for today, Mr. Sweeney, is the art of forcefulness.
Uh-huh.
You must learn to be forceful and aggressive. How to take the bull by the horns.
Oh, I learned how foolish it was to take the bull by the horns.
What do you mean?
No milk.
Another thing you must remember, Mr. Sweeney. You must always go forward. You must learn not to turn back.
Uh-huh.
Remember, Columbus didn't turn back. Magellan didn't turn back. Fred Olson didn't turn back.
Who was Fred Olson?
An uncle of mine who was leaving his wife.
I'll remember that, Dynamite.
Now, when you want something, you must make up your mind to not hesitate in getting it.
Uh-huh.
The best approach is the direct approach. You must drive, drive, drive. Oh, I get so tired when I drive without my gloves.
Be direct and forceful no matter what you want.
That's right.
All right.
Oh, Mr. Sweeney, I have to leave, but before I go, I have something I'd like to ask you.
Well, be direct and forceful no matter what you want.
This is very embarrassing. I never asked anybody this before.
Well, go ahead, Dynamite.
Would you please get off my foot? Goodbye.
Hal! Oh, Hal!
Yes, Bob?
Dynamite's gone.
How can you tell?
Well, that's not nice to talk that way about Dynamite. He taught me some very valuable things, and you should learn them, too.
Oh, really? What are those?
Well, to be kind, considerate, generous, loyal, friendly.
Oh, what was that again?
He taught me to be kind, considerate, generous.
So stop right there. Taught you to be generous, huh? Very noble virtue. How would you like to try out what you learned, Bob?
Well, that'd be fine.
Well, it just so happens that I have a friend with a broken arm. And for $10, I could bring him 3 gift buckets of plaster of Paris.
Well, do you need someone to help you carry the buckets?
No. I need $10.
Oh, I'd like to, but I don't have that much money on me.
But can't you get it, Bob? You said you saved money. You must have it, man. Can't you get it?
Well, you know my wife takes care of all my money.
Yeah, I know. That's Scarlet. The last time I tried to put the bite on her, she bit me right back.
Well, you don't have to worry tonight, Hal. I got her teeth in my pocket.
While the Messrs. Sweeney and March pluck the lint off their ersatz blue serges, the Starlighters, 4 guys, and Pauline Burns sing Iowa. Lud Gluskin directs the accompaniment.
Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it like we say it back home. It's the robin in the willows. It's the postmaster's friendly hello. Iowa, it's a beautiful name. You'll remember it wherever you roam. It's a sumac in September. It's the squeak of your shoes in the snow.
It's a Sunday school
and the old river band. Songs on the porch after dark.
It's a corner store
and a penny to spend.
You and your girl in the park.
Iowa, it's a beautiful name when you say it like we say it back home. It's a promise for tomorrow and a memory of long ago. Long ago, Iowa.
Hey, Sweeney!
What is it, Usher?
There's a gorgeous hunk of dame outside. She says she's your wife.
Well, have her come in.
Sweeney, there must be some mistake. This dame is beautiful.
Well, she's still my wife. Let her come in.
Hey, Sweeney, I want to ask you something.
Yeah?
Did you get married during the war?
Yes.
That's what I thought. This babe wouldn't marry a little giblet like you if there was any men around.
Listen, you Usher.
Having trouble, Bob?
Yeah, Hal, this Usher intimated that Scarlett married me because there was a shortage of men during the war.
Well?
See?
Listen, you let my wife in, understand?
Okay. Come on in, honey child.
Don't forget to speak to Scarlett about the moo, Bob.
The what, Hal?
Moo.
I'll take 2 quarts of milk and a pound of cottage cheese and some whipping cream and a pound of...
Moo means moolah, money, Bob.
Oh, sure, moolah. Yeah, I'll get it from Scarlett.
Hello, Robin, honey child, darling, sweet. I'm so sorry if I interrupted your little old radio show.
Bob, the moo.
I'll take 2 quarts of milk, a pound of cottage cheese, and whipped cream pan.
I already ordered, honey.
Moolah. Bob.
Oh, yeah. Scarlett, would you loan Hal a few dollars?
Robert, darling, sweet, do I believe my ears?
Could we loan Hal a few dollars?
Say pretty please with sugar on it.
Pretty please with sugar on it.
Say, pretty please with sugar and shortening bread on it.
Pretty please with sugar and shortening bread on it.
Say, pretty please with sugar and shortening bread, corn pone, turnip greens, matzo balls, and maligatoni soup on it.
Say, pretty please with sugar balls, shortening bread, matzo balls, turnip, maligatoni soup on it. Now, can Hal have the money?
No.
That's what I like about the South.
Robert, if we loaned every Tom, Dick, and Hal money, why, your little Scarlett wouldn't have the things to wear to make her pretty. Now, would she, Robert?
No, ma'am.
Oh, this is a fine friendship.
Why, I swear, Hamart, you're just like the grasshopper in Mr. Aesop's fables. Do you ever hear the story of the grasshopper and the ant?
Remember, we're on the air.
Well, sir, the grasshopper spent all his time playing and gadding about while the little old ant was busy storing food away for the rainy season.
What are you laughing at?
You're a grasshopper, Hal.
Okay, so I'm a grasshopper.
Hey, then I must be the ant.
Out in the wild and rugged West, men are men and women are women. Just like in most parts of the East. And in this far, far West, once upon a time, there lived a grasshopper. And an ant. Yes, they lived in a far-off western town called Hollywood. Now, these two creatures were as unlike as night and day. Yes, quite unlike. The grasshopper was a lazy and shiftless fellow and had nothing. But the ant was diligent and industrious and worked hard. Yes, he worked hard and he had plenty. He was loaded... loaded with money. Thank you. Yes, these two creatures were great friends, but they led entirely different lives. The grasshopper... I said, the grasshopper... The grasshopper! As I was saying, this insect was a lazy and worthless bum, while the little ant slaved away all day, and at night would come home to his little house on the anthill and spend quiet evenings with his sweet little wife and 9,000 children.
Honey! Oh, honey, I'm home from work.
Oh, hello, darling. Are you a hungry little old ant tonight?
No, not yet. I just came home from the restaurant around the corner.
Robert, you just scrape your feet off this minute. You've been walking through that horrible country gravy again.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, but walking through that nice, soft country gravy feels good. After tramping all over those hot breaded veal cutlets.
Oh, I know. Now, you just come over here and relax now. Just sit down here on your favorite breadcrumb. I'll massage your feelers.
Thanks. I do feel pretty tired.
Now tell me, honey, what'd you do today?
Oh, we had an awfully hard job. 35 of us ants worked all day moving a peanut around the corner of Gallagher's drugstore.
Oh, no, Bob, not that again. When will you ever stop working for peanuts? Gee, I wish you'd get into the real dough.
Well, you mustn't be greedy, honey. Remember what happened to Uncle Harry when he got in the real dough? He ended up in a loaf of Russian rye. And not only that, it was so dark under the crust that he wound up making love to a caraway seed.
Oh, yes, I remember. But it seems like all we ants ever do is work, work, work. We never have any fun.
Oh, I don't see how you can say that, honey. You can go to any picnic any Sunday and all the ants are there.
Oh, I know, but it's always that same old salami crowd.
Well, I got a little surprise for you tonight, honey. I got the big promotion today.
Oh, Bob, not what we've been hoping for.
Yes, sirree. From now on, I'm going to infest the big annual Iowa State picnic.
Oh, Bob, you're wonderful.
And so, for a long time, he was very happy, and things went very well for the little ant. But just a half a block away, a very different sort of life was being led by his friend, the grasshopper. My, he had a terrible reputation. He did nothing but sleep all day, and he hopped around until all hours of the night. If he wasn't chasing some little butterfly out in front of Earl Carroll's, he'd be sitting in the gutter on a cigar butt. Lit.
I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me.
Hello.
She's got plenty of something.
Oh, Al Grasshopper, were you whistling at me?
I wasn't rubbing my hind legs together, honey. That would be cricket. You're the cutest little moth in Hollywood.
Well, I'll have you know I'm not accustomed to being whistled at.
Relax, sweetheart. I whistle at all the women. Boy, I like members of the opposite sex, especially women.
I hate to discourage you. I just hate to discourage you, but I suppose you know a woman's just a rag, a bone, and a hank of hair.
Oh, yeah. But they're put together so nice.
Halliburton Grasshopper.
Never mind, sugar. What do you say you and me fly out to Cyril's tonight? Get our wings scorched, huh?
I've told you before. I ain't interested. You're not my type.
Oh, I know I may seem way beyond your reach, but we could make beautiful schmaltz together. I can take you places and get you things.
I still remember that mink coat you gave me.
The mink coat? What was wrong with it?
What was wrong with it? I ate clear through the collar and both sleeves before I found out it was muskrat. And it made me sick as a mosquito.
You see? Wasn't he a terrible grasshopper? Not at all like the hard-working, industrious little ant. Well, things went along like this until one day, the grasshopper lost the only job he ever had. He was working as a barker at a flea circus. It was a very unusual flea circus. These fleas had an act of trained people.
He lost the job, but he had show business in his blood, and he was determined to find another act. So he went to see his friend, the ant.
Come in! Well, Hal Grasshopper, glad you dropped over. Still broke, I see.
How can you tell, Bob?
Well, four of your shoes are in good shape, but the other two a little run down at the heels.
Okay, I'm broke, but not for long.
Oh, Hal, you and that mosquito aren't going to go down and knock off that blood bank again, are you?
No, there's no money in that. I'm going into vaudeville. That's what I came over to talk to you about.
Vaudeville? Gosh, if it's not one thing, it's another with you. If you'd save your money and settle down, you wouldn't have to jump from one job to another. You could open a little business and protect your future.
What kind of a business could I get into?
Well, if you'd save now and prepare for the future, someday you could be the Max Factor of the insect world.
How could I be the Max Factor of the insect world?
You could make ant powder.
No, Bob, the cosmetic business doesn't appeal to me. Nope, I got show business in my blood.
Oh, that's too bad, Hal. A friend of mine, a mosquito, got show business in his blood and he died from it.
What happened?
He bit Gable's back and Garson got him.
That should, but it doesn't discourage me. You and I could make a great vaudeville team.
Me in vaudeville?
Sure, I could get us a split week at Lowe's Ant Hill Uptown. I can see it all now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Orpheum Insect Circuit presents that internationally famous comedy team with songs, dances, and snappy sings, the Grasshopper and the Ant.
Hello, hello, the insect show is putting on this little skit so you will know. We're full of entertainment and we've got a lot of pep. And also we're full of jokes, so we are quite adept.
Hello, Ant.
Hello, Grasshopper.
Once there were two Irishmen.
Yes, now look how many there are.
Yes! That reminds me, Ant. Once I had two rabbits. Now do you know how many I have?
No, Grasshopper, tell me, how many rabbits do you have now?
Two. They were brothers.
One for me now, Grasshopper.
The floor is all yours, Ant. Shoot. Nice shooting, Ant. Now let's entertain the folks.
I understand they caught Jack the Ripper.
You mean to stand there and tell me they caught Jack the Ripper?
Yes, sirree. He walked into a shoe store, bought a pair of tight shoes, and they pinched him.
Yeah! From Maine to California, that's a joke we all love.
Yes, sir, on with the show and let her rip.
Nice ripping, Ant. That reminds me. I didn't know you spoke a foreign language.
What do you mean you didn't know I spoke a foreign language?
Saw you walking out of Grauman's Chinese.
Ah, yes, Grasshopper, it's going to be tough sledding tonight.
Tough sledding?
Yeah, no snow.
Bright stars from here to Mars have just been in our insect show. And every year while coming here, we hope to fill you full of cheer, the voice of the insect show.
Well, Speedy, what do you say? Do you want to go into vaudeville with me?
No, and you shouldn't either if you know what's good for you. You should work hard and save for the future.
Okay, Aunt. You go your way, and I'll go mine. So long, Aunt.
So long, Grasshopper. Good luck.
And so the Grasshopper went into vaudeville alone. And the ant started putting away a few kernels of corn each day. Everything went along fine until one day, vaudeville died. H.V. Kaltenborn killed it. The Grasshopper was finished. And the moral of the story is, if the Grasshopper had done as the ant had done and put a little corn away, he would have been all right. Because with a little corn, you can always get along in radio. In keeping with the spirit of this Armistice Day, the Starlighters put words to an old and popular march, the American Patrol.
We must be vigilant, we must be vigilant, American Patrol. With arms for the Army, ships for the Navy, let this be our goal. Must be diligent, we must be diligent, American Patrol. protect our shoreline to the doorline of every native soul. We need this solidarity, or else divided we will fall. It means the popularity of peace and happiness for all. Behind this cause, we must keep a rally, and let there be no dilly-dally. Keep free, dilly-shally, and hark to freedom's call. Hark to freedom's call. Hark to freedom's call. On land, in the air, on sea, everywhere. Be steady, an American patrol. Be sincere and persevere. Let that be our goal. Heed the call and give our all in the cause for right. We're in to win or lose our skin. Show them how to fight. When born by the red, white and blue. Tyranny tremble when born by the red, white, and blue. Up in the air, where we'll win the battle, we'll win the battle, fighting for the right. We must be vigilant, be ready in American patrol. To arm the army ships for the Navy, let this be our goal. We must be diligent American patrol. Protect our liberty, American patrol. We must be diligent American patrol. Keep on, must keep rallying. Let there be no dilly-dally. Keep free from dilly-dallying. Let this be our goal. American patrol.
Thank you, Starlighters. That was great. Well, Bob, what do you think of the story of the grasshopper and the ant?
Well, what do you mean, what do I think?
Well, do you think there's anything to the moral of saving your money for the rainy day?
Well, sure, Hal, but the grasshopper wouldn't have got caught in a rainy day if he was people.
Oh.
If he'd have been people, he would have invested in the United States savings bonds.
Well, do you save for bonds, Bob?
Well, certainly I do, Hal. Just because the war is over is no reason to stop buying bonds, because you can start building for the future now.
Well, Robin, you're going to be mighty pleased to learn that your old buddy Hal has been buying U.S. saving bond each payday.
You have, Hal?
Certainly.
But you didn't go down to the bank or the post office any day this week.
That's right.
Well, then where are you getting your savings bonds from?
Well, each month my employer takes $18.75 out of my monthly earnings. I'm part of a payroll savings plan.
Gosh, I didn't know you could still do that, Hal.
Bob, there are hundreds of people in this country who don't know that United States E-bonds are still available. And believe me, it's mighty important that they do know about it, because these bonds are the soundest investment in the world.
Oh, I agree with you, Hal. Gosh, I know that if my wife and I ever expect to have that little house we always talk about, or if our children are going to go to college someday, I got to start saving for it right now.
That's right, Bob. And the United States savings bonds are the safest investment for your future. Good night, folks.
Good night, folks.
Next week, same time, same station, the Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations will present another Sweeney and March program with songs by the Starlighters, music by Lud Gluskin from Hollywood. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.